Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for joining us today. Got a fantastic show lined up for you. So let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. We ask you, Father, to help us see you in everyone we meet and in every situation we encounter. Help us also be a light shining in the darkness. Help us be able to bring people closer to you. Father, we ask that you bless all of us, all of our families. We ask that you watch over and protect those who are homeless today, those also who are homebound. We ask you to heal the sick. We ask you to help those who are anxious, those who are lonely, and those who are struggling with doubt or maybe on the verge of despair. We ask you, Father, to speak through us on the program today. We know that you have a message for us today. Please use us as your instruments and open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I am Gary Zimek. This is Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. Great to be here. Got a great show today for you. Dr. John Bergsma from Franciscan University will be here once again. We'll continue our story, our exploration of the journey of Abraham from the book of Genesis. Also, Father Donald Haggerty wrote a new book called Conversion, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God. I'm telling you, this is an amazing book. I read it. I just could not put it down. You know, with Advent coming up, this is a perfect topic. Conversion. We hear a lot about it, but what is it? Well, we're going to talk about that. Right now, by my side, I didn't even introduce you yet. Relax.
I'm trying to. I'm more awake today, although you might not have told.
Frank Eliason.
Good morning.
Now, I can't even introduce Dave Parker. He's talking before I even introduce him.
He's just so excited to be around you, Gary.
I'm glad Frank's here. and you, Gary.
It's good to see, good to see both of you guys today. Hey, it was chilly out there today.
Really chilly.
It is chilly.
Where's your coffee? What's going on, Frank?
So, you know, this is a crazy week for a lot of people, right? You have you know, Thanksgiving coming up, you know, everybody's getting ready for that. You know, we're going to have guests over, you know, and our guests are really helpful because basically they're saying, hey, you know, we'll be there Thursday, or, you know, we might be there Wednesday. So now we have to shift gears and make sure everything's ready for Wednesday.
Exactly.
And so we've been rushing. We just redid our basement and all that
stuff.
No
comment.
Like, trying to get that all ready and almost done. And so I'll be rushing out of here today, running the Wegmans, picking up a whole bunch of food, and then getting ready for that. But this morning, one of the things is I was working late last night trying to finish up the basement. The cat ate a few of my wires. It's a slight issue.
Whoa.
How's the cat?
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, it's really funny because, you know, used to be...
Cat's getting good reception.
Yeah. Used to be able to run Radio Shack to get these things. Radio Shack doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. So now I have to wait for those things to get shipped to me because the cat ate them. Cat ate my homework. But anyway, so this morning I got up a little bit later than I really like. I really wasn't awake. And so I, you know, traditionally I get either Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks on the ride in. I get coffee. And so I did my order on the mobile app.
Right.
I accidentally ordered iced coffee. So the way I drove in today to enjoy my iced coffee, because, you know, it's a little hard to enjoy iced coffee in this cold.
Yeah.
Is I made the heat at 85 in my truck. And so that way I was baking, so that way it didn't seem weird that I was sitting here drinking
iced coffee.
Seemed
like a hot summer
day. Exactly.
Anyway,
I'm here.
Good to see you, Frank.
Good to see both of you. It was, you know, good listening
to you
yesterday.
We missed you yesterday.
I was listening to at least half the show. I missed the first half. I did sleep in through the first half.
Okay.
But hey, it was great hearing you yesterday. And, you know, always enjoy being on the opposite side.
Well, thank you, Frank. Yeah. Hey, Gary, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
At that start, you know, in my swimming days, I was a sprinter. And not once or twice, but a few more times than that. I mean,
you jumped the gun?
Wow. Yeah. False start on lane two. And I'm glad they didn't give names. I mean, because I'm so excited to be here.
Well,
for the Lord.
You know,
for the show. But back in the blocks.
And I'm excited to have you. I really am. And you know, Frank.
I find it cute that you jumped the gun.
Well, I love, you know, you don't even know what you just did, but you just gave me the perfect segue.
Uh-oh.
When you said jump the gun. That's one of those expressions we use often. Yeah. Now, Dave, I could see you're scared because you don't know what's coming, which I like to do to keep you on your toes. One of the most popular features on this program, at least in my mind, is the Did You Know feature. And again, I say in my mind because I don't know if anybody else cares about
it. It's a scary place,
it.
But let's go with it,
it's
okay?
Crashed a few times.
But I have a brand new segment that I'd like to debut today called Why Do We Say It? The stories behind the words, expressions, and cliches we use. So I have a
Bring
book here, so I'm going to try it. You know, you said jump the gun. There are a lot of expressions we use, and we don't really necessarily know the origin.
How did I know?
Dave Parker, you are a wealth of knowledge, right, Frank? I mean, and Frank, you know a lot, too, so.
Not really. But he's Cliff.
Let me just run a couple of
these by you. What's my
nickname?
Cliff Craven.
All right.
I love that.
Aback. What is the reason we say that a person who is surprised is taken aback? Now, don't think too hard, but if you know this, let me know.
Why are they taken aback?
What is the origin of that term?
I don't know.
Okay. Wow. That is not what I expected.
They step back.
Actually, it's a nautical term. When the sails of a square-rigged sailing ship are suddenly carried by the wind back against the mast, the ship is taken aback and stopped dead. So, too, a person halted abruptly by some new development is taken aback.
Wow.
So it is a nautical term.
I truly did not know that. Now I learned something new.
I thought this was very interesting. All right, how about this? Above board. Why is an honest person said to be above board?
Because they do everything in the light of day. Does it have to do with a mariner theme? Again,
no,
ships?
This one does not. Here, okay. this is really
on deck.
This is really interesting. See, we're gonna be educational today.
Can I call a friend?
Because card sharps and magicians place their hands under the board or table to prepare their tricks and stack the deck.
Wow.
If they keep their hands above the board, they can be presumed, not always accurately, to be proceeding without trickery.
Oh.
Above board.
Okay.
All right, do we do one more?
Yeah, let's
Frank,
go.
Frank, your
go.
Management, can I do one more? Always have to check with management. Okay, how about this one? Abeyance. What is the reason we say that something held up is held in abeyance? I think you've used this term.
Oh, I love that term. I love all those terms. I should know the origin of them. But abeyance?
This is why I'm here.
Put it in abeyance.
Do you want to know?
Does it come from military chivalry or... Something happened where you're stopping.
Here we go. Here's the answer.
Put in abeyance.
Good guess. It's because abeyance literally means hold your mouth open. The word comes from the French bayer, to gape, and the allusion is to those who, while waiting for something to happen, stand with their mouths open.
Let me close my mouth now.
So anyway, that's...
Okay, wow.
There you go.
Hey,
so that comes
why
from
do
a
we
book.
Say it? That's right.
Hey,
why do we
right.
say it?
Wow.
What do you think?
I think
did
it's great.
That?
I think it's a great. I did. Can I borrow the book over Thanksgiving?
You're going to study now.
I'm going to study now.
Well, that's good. Anyway,
that was very good.
It's a little feature. Just try to keep things fresh around
fresh,
here. That's what
moving
I try
forward.
To do. I think it's time for the weather.
Okay. It's cold.
Okay.
Thank you for giving me permission. The current temperature.
It's cold.
Current temperature, this is interesting. The Philadelphia International Airport is 42 degrees under cloudy skies. Now, today it's going to be sunny with a high near 60. Tonight, chance of showers after 10 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 46. Wednesday, slight chance of showers before 9 a.m., then mostly sunny with a high near 53. So it's 42 at the Philadelphia International Airport. However, in Doylestown, where we are, it's 34 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, quite a difference. Also in Westchester, 34, and in Beverly, New Jersey, it's 39 degrees.
Yes, wow.
So it's a big difference.
A big, big difference. Hey, real quick, I know before you're going to go and do the gospel and things like that, but we didn't maybe later, last segment, we talk about the Eagles, because you weren't here yesterday.
I was not here yesterday, but I definitely was up for the whole entire game. It's one of the reasons why I was not here.
What's amazing, we did talk about this yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
I watched
Frank,
the first half and went to bed and missed everything.
You missed the whole game.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I will sit there after watching the first half and going, they're just not looking good.
Exactly.
But, you know, how about the
Looks can be deceiving.
How about the linebacker kicking?
Well, yeah.
He did a great job for, like, you know, not being his job and doing that. That was really incredible.
Yeah, because Mr. Elliott, the young, what courage. Oh. But he's in concussion protocol now.
If you watched his tackle, and the moment I saw it, I couldn't believe he came back in the game after that. Mm. You know, what they teach is not helmet to helmet.
Yes.
And he totally led with his helmet right into the other helmet. And, it's one of those, it's the reason why they don't allow that.
Exactly.
And so, you know, unfortunately, yes, he did get injured. But, you know, it was a fascinating game. I thought watching the second half and the third quarter was just, you know, you really got to enjoy what the Eagles are really about this
Absolutely.
Year.
Anyway, yeah, great game. Sorry I missed the second half. I'll work on that next time.
Okay.
But I had to make sure I was awake for the show. Let's do the gospel today. Really good gospel.
I'm glad you did.
A familiar one.
I didn't have
Luke,
to, so.
Yeah, that's right. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save what was lost." That's funny. I thought that we are supposed to look down on those people who don't go to church and maybe aren't as spiritual as we are. Isn't that true, Frank?
It sometimes feels that way.
Right?
You know, and like, you know, if you really, this is a great story, you know, from the Bible, and like really just gets to the heart of things, you know, giving back redemption, you know, it's all there. You know, ultimately, you know, that's what we need to think
about
in everything we do. There's so many times we like say, "They're the sinner."
That's right. That's right. But Zacchaeus had a conversion. We're going to be talking about conversion.
That was so rich.
We can't give up on anybody. When we come back, John Bergsman. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 21st. Today we celebrate the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There's some uncertainty about the origin of today's feast. Nowhere in the Gospels do we read that Anna and Joachim presented Mary at the temple in Jerusalem. Some other early works indicate that Mary's parents made this offering to God when she was 3 years old to fulfill a promise Anna made while she was still childless. Despite the lack of historical evidence, Mary's presentation serves an important theological purpose. It flows from the earlier feasts of the Immaculate Conception and of Mary's Nativity, and it emphasizes that the holiness conferred on Mary from the very beginning of her life on earth continued through her early childhood and beyond. Whatever its history, the feast of Mary's presentation was celebrated in Jerusalem in the 6th century and in the Western Church in the 11th century. Although it was sometimes missing from the calendar, this feast was extended to the Universal Church in the 16th century. Today we celebrate the fact that from the beginning of her life, Mary was dedicated to God. She herself became a greater temple than any made by human hands. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Fix My Eyes for King and Country. The time right now is 7:18. We're joined on the phone by our friend Dr. John Bergsma. He's a full professor of theology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's written several books, and we've been discussing one of his books, Bible Basics for Catholics. Specifically, we've been taking a look at the story of Abraham. Well, John is here with us to continue that story. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Great to be with you.
Always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Okay, so we're up to chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. Last time we heard about the name change for Abraham and for Sarah. Now, some interesting things happen in chapter 18 of Genesis. Namely, Abraham has some somewhat mysterious visitors. Can you talk a little bit about that, John?
Sure. We have three angels that appear to Abraham as he's waiting. It says at the door of his tent.
Right.
And he runs out and invites them in. And these angelic visitors, they're really kind of curious, Gary, because they at one hand they appear like men.
Right.
But then there's also clearly something supernatural about them.
Yeah.
And then they're also closely related to God. And at one point, it seems like all three of them are God.
John, that's one of the things that comes to my mind. Is there any possibility that this could be the Trinity, or am I reading too much into this?
Well, Gary, if you see it as a Trinity, you would be in good company because the Father saw it that way, and the early Christian Church, and that's why. You know, many of our listeners have probably seen those icons with the three angels, you know, facing each other, two with their heads bowed toward the other, and it's been very traditional, especially in the Eastern Church, Gary, to represent the Trinity under the form of these three angels that came to visit Abraham,
and they deliver a message to Abraham and Sarah. Stating that one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." And then I find that what happens after that somewhat humorous. Sarah laughs at this. I mean, this is so real, what's going on here. Abraham and Sarah, they are so real.
Yes, absolutely. Sarah laughs, and then, you know, the angels say, well, why are you laughing? You know, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then she starts, I didn't laugh. Yeah. I laughed. You know?
I love that.
I laughed. Did anybody around here laugh? I did not even hear anything like a laugh. It's like, it's so human. You know, we have these spontaneous reactions, and then we deny it. And that's exactly what's going on. But, you know, she's so old.
Yeah.
And, In Hebrew, the verb for laughing is yetzach, and that's going to become the name of the son, of course.
Wow.
It gets smoothed out as Isaac in English, but yetzach. So there's definitely a connection there.
Yeah, and a very good, I think, a very good reminder for us that with God, all things are possible. Now, here's an extreme case that she's still able to give birth, and a reminder for us all, John, that God is true to his word. If he told Abraham he's going to have a son, it's going to happen.
Absolutely. And it also foreshadows, you know, other impossible births in Scripture, especially that of our Lord, you know, a virgin conceiving. And so, you know, that's a pattern throughout Scripture, Gary, that situations of impossibility, you know, God works, especially to bring life. I think that's important. You know, conception in cases where conception seems impossible.
Wow.
You know, also with Samuel later, you know, whose mother, Hannah, of course, was barren. And that was a miraculous conception and birth as well. So all throughout Scripture, really, God is saying, I am the God of life. I am the God who enables conception. And that's really something to ponder for us as Catholics, too, and that's, you know, part of the principle of, you know, being open to life, being generous, and being willing to receive children when we're a married couple, because God is the Lord of that.
Yeah, you know what I love about these segments that we're doing? We're not just looking at these stories as historical facts. I mean, this is a dynamic word to each of us. And as you were talking about being open to life and God being able to bring about conception in difficult cases, I think of my wife and I. When we first got married, we struggled with infertility, and we just did not think it would be possible to have children. And then without intervention, my wife became pregnant with twins. We were then told that the twins would probably die. They had a 10% chance of being born alive. But praise God, through a lot of prayer and God's mercy, the girls were born alive. So, you know, you really can get some good life lessons from the words of Scripture.
Absolutely. And there's just a power in having faith. And continuing to engage with God in prayer, you know, praying for our children, praying them through these difficult times.
Yeah.
I've got several special needs children, myself, Gary, and you know, it's perseverance in prayer, and you know, we can't take the secular world's word for it that says, well, this is what their limitation is, that, you know, that this can never happen, and you know, your child can never succeed or your child can never live. We have to fight past that and really see what God has in store for our children and pray for their very best.
You know, this isn't according to the script, but what you just said there touched me. I have an autistic daughter. My daughter Mary is high-functioning autistic, and you are so right, because she is now in a special needs program in college. She just started that, and my wife and I were looking at that situation as like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to Mary? We don't know what she's going to be able to do. She'll never be able to, you know, you fall into that, she'll never be able to succeed at anything. And miraculously, we find out about this college program, and God did provide for her, and she's doing well. Great reminder, John. Thank you for sharing that on a personal level. I appreciate that.
Praise God. Yeah, we need to persevere through these apparent situations of impossibility, and I think that's what God is speaking to us through this text of Genesis 18 this morning.
Mm. I love the fact that I think the Holy Spirit drives our interview, so I'm going to continue to be open to Him. We have about 3 minutes left, but the next, if you're able to get into this at all, the next incident, if you will, is Abraham intercedes for Sodom. John, every time I've heard this, it almost seems like he's able to change God's mind, and I think we have that mindset sometimes too. Well, if I pray hard enough, I can change God's mind. Can you go into this a little bit in the brief time that we have remaining?
Sure. Well, we can't change God's mind, but it is true that God has, in His providential plan, works our prayers and works our actions into salvation history. Mm-hmm. So there is something, Gary, to being active in prayer. Not that, you know, in some way we're going to change some providential determination that was planned from eternity.
Right.
But on the other hand, God was looking forward into human history and included us, worked us in, as it were, to His providence. And so that gives us courage to step up to the plate and to do our part, to pray and to intercede. And we see in pivotal points of salvation history, Gary, persons like Abraham, Moses, Daniel, the great prophet, our Lord, praying for the people of God, or praying for people who are in under judgment, and God uses them to bring the grace that He always wanted to bring on certain individuals. Mm. And so, yes, God has everything planned, but our participation was planned as well. So let's intercede for folks that need mercy. Let's intercede for those who are under judgment and pray for their salvation.
Amen. And I think we'll talk more about this next time, how Abraham interceded for Sodom, because I don't want to rush it, and we're just about out of time. John, where can we, I know you have a new book coming out, where can we find more about your work online?
Sure. CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to my website. Okay. And I've got a new book coming out from our Sunday Visitor.
Yes.
I believe it's available for pre-order already, called Stunned by Scripture, How the Bible Made Me Catholic.
Wow.
My conversion story wrapped with some scripture apologetics.
Good stuff. And John, I really appreciate you coming on the show and being a regular part of this program. I know it's not easy for you, but you are helping me personally, and I know you're helping the listeners as well.
Absolutely. So great to be with you, Gary.
God bless you, my friend. Have a very blessed Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right, thanks. Dr. John Bergsma, Dave Parker.
Wow, yes.
I mean, that took an unexpected
Absolutely.
Turn.
Holy Spirit turn. I thought of the Stand Up For Life dinner, pro-life this past Sunday attended.
Yes, yes. Oh, that was good stuff. Dr. John Bergsma.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll be talking conversion. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The U.S. is putting North Korea back on its terrorism blacklist. President Donald Trump says the designation as a state sponsor of terror is long overdue and promises a new wave of sanctions as part of what he calls a maximum pressure campaign over North Korea's development of nuclear weapons. He says the Treasury Department will begin rolling out the new sanctions today. CBS Morning Show host Charlie Rose says he's deeply embarrassed and has apologized for his behavior. The Washington Post reports that 8 women who worked with Rose accused the 75-year-old of sexual harassment and misconduct. CBS has suspended Rose, and PBS has halted distribution of his nightly interview show. And an atheist group is suing to stop an annual blessing of the animals at a New Jersey shelter. NJ.com reports American Atheists, Inc. claims in a federal lawsuit that the Bergen County Animal Shelter's blessing of the animals by a priest violates the First and Fourth Amendments. The event was held last month to celebrate the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. The lawsuit seeks an injunction against the county's participation plus legal fees. It names Bergen County, the shelter, and its director. The lawsuit says the Teterboro shelter is using government resources to promote religious ceremonies. The shelter is run by the county's Department of Health Services and receives money from the state. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
On November 14th, a dear friend of Holy Spirit Radio and the pro-life movement, Bill Miller, went home to the Lord. In honor of Bill, Holy Spirit Radio will be re-airing the last episode of Voices for the Unborn. The episode will air Friday at 4 p.m. and it will re-air Sunday at 2 p.m. We want to celebrate the life of Bill and thank him for the inspiration he has provided to all of us. He will have a lasting legacy. Funeral services will be held at the Assumption BVM Church in Feasterville, Pennsylvania. We'll be viewing at 7:15 to 9:15 Tuesday evening, as well as Wednesday at 10 a.m., a massive Christian burial at 11 a.m. Our prayers are for the soul of Bill and condolences to Kitty and his family. Bill, thank you for being with us. God bless you.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. In 1950, Jean Rolfe gave birth to a daughter named Susan, but then she and her husband were ordered to place the girl in a state institution and tell everyone she died. The reason? Susan was born with the intellectual challenge we now know as Down syndrome. Jean was horrified because she believed that Susan was a gift from God, and with help from her husband's brother, Father Raymond Rolfe, they convinced the hospital to let them take Susan home, but they had a promise they would put her in a facility run by nuns when she was 5 years old. That was a promise they never followed through on because Susan bonded with her parents and their love for her grew stronger every day. While Susan faced challenges, she wound up living a rich and fulfilling life with her family. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Stay. changing the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Carrie Jobe. The name of the song was I Am Not Alone. Great message for all of us today, no matter where we go, wherever we go, whatever we do, the Lord really is with us. So just make sure that you remember that. The time right now is 7:35. We're going to talk about conversion. That's a term that gets used quite often. But what does it mean? And how do we know if we've had a conversion? My next guest is Father Donald Haggerty. He's written a new book from Ignatius Press. The name of the book is Conversion, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God. Father Haggerty is a priest of the Archdiocese of New York. He's been a professor of moral theology at St. Joseph's Seminary in New York and Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland. He is also the author of the books Contemplative Hunger and Contemplative Provocations. Father Haggerty, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Father, I'm going to say as we start this interview, I absolutely loved the book. I could not put it down.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
It was very readable. It had a lot of substance in it. And Father, I have to say, it challenged me.
That's great. And I've been challenged myself by conversion, and my great challenge has been also contact, much closeness with the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa sisters. And I think God uses for each of us people in our lives to try to draw us to a greater gift to Him and to recognize Him.
Yeah. And
most of us, I think, almost all of us, have had some serious conversion in our life, and or we need it.
Right.
And I think it's good to point out too, if you have parents who are listening to your program, that of course not to give up hope on their children, but many times young people are going through periods of time when God is still getting ready. He's chasing after them in pursuit of them to bring them back to a full practice of their faith, and it's important for parents also to play their role there.
Oh yeah, Father. When we use the term conversion a lot, can you define the term?
Well, I think it can be used in many ways, as you know, is present in the book. Also, I mean, the great possibility of coming back from being out of a state of grace and then having a very serious confession,
right?
Coming back to a state of grace and steady practice of the faith, that's one type of conversion.
Okay.
There are conversions of people who had no faith,
right,
or no Catholic faith who became Catholics. You know, St. Edith Stein is a classic example of more recent times. And then I talk in the book also about what to me is a very important thing, the idea of a second conversion in life.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned in the book, that dates back to a thought of a Jesuit from the 1600s who was a novice master also of one of the North American martyrs, St. John de Brugoff. And his thought as a Jesuit was that you have to, well along in one's life, have a second realization of what it means to give oneself to God in a much fuller gift of one's life. And I don't use that with retreats for the Missionaries of Charity for many years, and I think very good people resonate with that. 15, 20 years into the life, you have to make a second, much greater surrender of life. And I think it's so true perhaps in marriage also.
Right.
You know, 15 years, 10, 20 years into it, that maybe when the children finally leave home, you choose again your vocation before God and make a much greater gift of self. And I think that's a conversion as well.
Father, about that second conversion, because I can very much relate to that. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I was lukewarm for so many years. I wasn't really, I would say, living in the state of mortal sin or anything. I was just incredibly lukewarm. I went to Mass every week, didn't really care. And then in late 2004, I had what I would call a major conversion experience, where I really started to take my faith seriously, started to pray, and really had a pretty profound encounter with Christ. And that changed my life dramatically. But Father, once we have that second conversion, if you will, is that it? Or is that a continual process?
I mean, I think it's a continual process, right? Then. And, you know, it's a walk then, you know, with our Lord and toward Him. And, you know, my experience, I'm at St. Patrick's Cathedral now in New York City, and we have a lot of confessions here.
Mm-hmm.
And so many, you know, visiting people coming in, I think a lot of moments of grace there. But I'm telling people all the time in confession, some are, you know, New Yorkers, some are not. You know, if you can, especially the New Yorkers working in New York, try to get into a church now every day.
Yeah.
And if you can, go to Mass now every day. And I think many people respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no matter what that confession was, sometimes you think, well, no, they'll have to, you know, gradually make their way back. And I think sometimes when you're coming back from a serious, you know, a conversion, when you start to go to Mass every day, find that love and that drawing effect of the Eucharist to pray quietly in a church, you know, maybe in the afternoon or in the evening, you know, this has an effect on the soul. And
mm-hmm.
then as you have the experience in your life, you know, you just get pulled more deeply, you know, toward God.
Yeah.
All the time.
And Father, the other thing that really touched me in the book, and something that I was praying about today, is after I did have that second conversion, I started praying more, and I felt that call of the Lord to grow deeper in a relationship with Him, to grow closer to Him. And what's hitting me now, which stunned me in your book, is this call to serve the poor, or to find the Lord in the poor, which is something that I've never really sought. I've never really sought out, because I thought, well, this is between me and God, but I just keep getting hit over the head with this message that I need to find the Lord in the poor. Could you talk a little bit about that connection, Father?
Well, to me, that's another essential aspect, and in part, my, you know, the gift that I've had in, so grateful to God, you know, to have this contact with Missionaries of Charity.
Yeah.
A lot of years, I first was a volunteer with them as a layperson before going to the seminary, and to me, as Mother Teresa always said it, the love for the Eucharist is complemented, you know, accompanied by this love for Jesus Christ present in the poor.
Mm.
And we're going to have this gospel on Sunday of Matthew chapter 25, what you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me.
Yep.
And when you sense His presence is real in the Eucharist, and then take those words for what they really say, you know, I am present there in the poor, that can draw our heart out even more in that sense of the mysterious presence of our Lord somehow accessible to us.
Yeah.
And I would also just say that, you know, I think we have to see there are many disguises of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Teresa said many times, especially coming to the Western countries, great poverty is in loneliness.
Mm.
And, you know, a person may not be a desperate, you know, disheveled person on the street, you know, to be a very poor person. And if we go to hospitals, you know, in cancer wards, nursing homes, you know, are full of poor people because they are alone and isolated.
Right.
And sometimes that poor person might be in our own family.
Wow.
And, you know, I think, you know, that kind of sensitivity to being open to the poor, you know, not just to hand a dollar out to somebody in the street.
Right.
But to try to have some contact, you know, perhaps to do, you know, some work in a soup kitchen, something of this nature, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That
Great advice. The book is Conversion by Father Donald Haggerty, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God from Ignatius Press. This will be an excellent Advent book for all of us. I'm going to put a link to this, Father, on our website, spiritinthemorning.com. Now, we are just about out of time. Before we go, Father, could you leave us with a blessing?
Sure, and thanks so much for having me, Gary.
Oh, it's been great. Thank you.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and all your listeners and bring the protection of Mary and of St. Joseph upon your lives always. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much, Father. I love the segment. I love the book, and I thank you for writing it.
Thank you, Gary. And have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Father. You as well. Dave Parker, that was kind of unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
I read Matthew 25 with Chris Stepien on the air yesterday.
Yes.
It kind of got me, it gave me chills when I was reading in his book yesterday. He's talking about that, serving the poor.
Absolutely.
Not just the impoverished.
Exactly.
There are poor people all around us.
We can unpack that maybe last segment.
We'll be back with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Want a good prescription for an awesome start to your day? A strong cup of coffee, Gary Zimak, and Spirit in the Morning.
There's a brokenness inside of you. There's a wound that still reminds you of the fear, shame, and rejection. You've seen it. You know it's time to get up, but your heart's paralyzed, you're so stuck. You passed the point, you're trying again. You're defeated. There's something inside you can't deny. You hear the call of your Creator. Made you for more, unlock the door. I wanna restore your glory. So rise, break in the dark, pierce in the night, can make you shine. An army of hope, bringing the world a radiant light, a radiant light. You were made to rise, rise. Lift your head and look around you. See the dreams you lost, they have found you. And the heart that once was beating is coming back to life, coming back to life. But something inside you can't deny. You hear the call of your Creator. I made you for more, unlock the door. I wanna restore your glory. So
the world of
That was Rise by Danny Gokey. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. All right, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. This is about as close to a no-brainer as you can ever have. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be impossible.
Oh, amen.
Right? I mean, what am I going to add to that?
We were just talking.
But that's the way, you know, we talked with Dr. Bergsman in the first segment about Abraham was told he's going to have many descendants. He starts out, he's 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's 99, still no child, and God said it's going to happen. He says, wait a minute. My wife's 90. I'm 99. Come on. It happened, right?
It is
God
laughable.
Says it. Yeah, of course. And Sarah laughed.
Sarah laughed.
And she said she didn't. But then God said, I love that. And he said, yes, you did.
Because well, her memory at that age, I mean, she didn't. It was a split second. She didn't remember laughing. I don't know.
That's right. You're pretty close to that age. And I'm not far behind.
Hey, what are you
so
doing
I'm
here, brother?
Be quiet.
What are you doing here?
Hey, before we wrap up, I want to point out some good news. Got this from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Pope Francis has named 9 archdiocesan priests as chaplains to His Holiness with the title of Monsignor. Now, all of these priests were ordained to the priesthood by the late John Cardinal Kroll, and I'll just run through the list. This is in alphabetical order. Father Angelo Cittino, Father Joseph Corley, Father Thomas Dunleavy, Father Thomas Eckert, Father William Kaufman, Father Paul Kennedy, Father Henry McKee, Father George Strausser, and Father Robert Vogan. Now, all of these honors will be conferred on Sunday, December the 3rd of this year at the Basilica, and all are invited. So congratulations to all of our new Monsignors.
Outstanding. Yes.
And they all have, and I left this part out, they all have been in priestly ministry for more than 40 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
God bless them. Wow.
So what do we have, boys?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, there's so much to talk about.
Wrap up
you
the
know,
show.
First of all, thank you guys. You know, we have Thanksgiving this week, and obviously, you know, it's a chance to kind of give thanks, you know, give thanks to the Lord for all the gifts that we do have. But I look upon the two of you as gifts in my life. So,
well, thank you.
You know, thank you very
back
much.
Back at you, Frank.
That's
I mean,
right.
Oh, you are a blessing and a gift.
I was blessing in disguise.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep it short.
We were talking on the break, and I probably should bring this up, how the three of us just came together, and this show just fell into place, you know. And I was saying on the break that I don't necessarily pick the two guests to have a common theme, but we have, you know, Chris Stepien's on yesterday. We're talking about the poor in Matthew chapter 25. And then I open Father Haggerty's book, and he's talking about if we really want to encounter Jesus, we have to look at Matthew chapter 25 and serve him in the poor. I mean, the Holy Spirit, Frank, really is in charge here.
Bottom line, that's what we said. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit.
Oh, thanks, Frank.
I was going to say, you said a lot like that. That's Frank Parker with his...
impression of Frank.
Frank Parker. Frank Parker.
We're twins.
But it's certainly about, you know, faith in action in many ways. Sorry. And like that comes through in the show and these guests. Oh. And that's not planned.
No.
You know, but it's... what can we go and do? You know, Carolyn, you know, all the time is saying... exactly that. How do we get more things for people to do? You know, it's easy to sit and talk. It's easy to judge. It's easy to do so many other things. One of the hardest things is actually go do.
Right.
And so, you know, how that's the key. And, you know, us coming together, you know, we kind of, we joke about it all the time. Like, you know, what are we doing here? Why am I, you know, the one doing this? But there is reason behind it. There,
that's right.
And, you know, each and every day that we are together, you know it. You feel it.
Yeah. And the takeaway is the Spirit can work in your life, your listeners.
Exactly.
Just like he works in our lives.
Right.
You know?
Be willing to let the Spirit in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may be against what you were thinking, which is the other piece to it. Is you know, did I ever envision be sitting here doing this?
Yeah. No. I was going to say, you always envisioned having a career in Catholic radio, right?
Yeah, no.
I don't think any of us have.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it totally did. That was not what my plans were, and I had my own plans, and the Holy Spirit had a different plan.
And if I can, this is Dave Eliason. being a veteran, I wanted to work this in. I know, I mean, there are many veterans that are in good stead, but there's some that are still homeless. A lot are homeless.
Oh, yes.
On the
good
street.
Point. Yes.
And, I mean, talking about the poor.
Yeah.
They didn't ask for it. Who knows why? I mean, many reasons, but and then the general population of poor people, homeless people on the street. I mean, that's who we're called Father Haggerty and others.
So many people look forward to The Leftovers, you know, after Thanksgiving. But you know what? Maybe it's Eight for Friends.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's you know, to a soup kitchen that may be near you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a number of different places that we could certainly take some of this good food that we're privileged to enjoy. Or you know what? It's inviting maybe someone who is you know, in a nursing home and they have no family left. Maybe it's inviting them over.
Yeah,
doing
or
something
going sitting next to him.
That
for
is
an
correct.
Hour, you know,
you know, there's a lot of things we can do that are truly faith in action.
Absolutely,
and not sitting there judging people, but actually doing something that is truly what Jesus taught us.
Yeah. And that's the key. We saw his example by going to dinner at the house of Zacchaeus, and Jesus took a lot of flack for that, for going into the home of a sinner. But here's a guy who had a conversion. He met Jesus, he turned his life around, and, but Jesus never avoided those people. And if we're going to follow him, that's where it leads. It leads not just internally, it leads externally. If we're really going to follow Christ, we'll ultimately come out of ourselves and go bring him to other people and find him in other people. Right?
And well, paraphrase the scripture. I mean, he didn't come to... for those who are well, you know, he didn't come to heal the well. He came to heal those who need him.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, he goes after the poor. He goes after everybody if they want him in their lives.
He goes after
especially the
sinners.
Poor.
And we're all sinners and we're all poor, right? I mean, when you come right down to it.
And Father Haggerty was so inspired by Mother St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He alluded to her many times.
And I didn't mention in his biography, but he is a spiritual director to the Missionaries of Charity. So to her sisters, he does a lot of work with them. So really good stuff. And this is a lot of fun. And we would invite you as our listeners to ask yourself, where is God leading me? And just as Frank said, be open and see what happens. Don't think you're opening yourself up to a life of suffering, because if the Lord calls you, it might not be what you wanted, but ultimately that's where you're going to find your peace.
Yes, exactly. And I want to thank Frank. Thanks for those kind words. I want to thank the management, you know, Dale and Jane Meyer and all everyone and Eileen and Gary, and, you know, happy Thanksgiving, brothers. I know, Frank.
We're going to be here tomorrow. Dave, we're going to be here tomorrow.
I know,
I was the one that might not be here tomorrow, so that's
I wasn't going to say that, but I just want to say it, you know?
Well, I know that's
heartfelt. We have today. Let's,
you.
We're living for today. So
that's right.
I pray that we're all here tomorrow, or except Frank. Yeah, I mean,
wow!
But no,
as I always say,
I'm just going to sit back
and watch this unfold.
I never had someone wish that I stepped off the bus.
He's
going to
be attending
daily
all here
tomorrow, except for Frank.
Whoa, that came out wrong. But he we know that he's going to be now. Okay, I'm digging my stop shoveling, Dave. Frank has many duties, Thanksgiving duties. So and. I'm almost done with mine because I started like 2 weeks ago. No. So really, basically, I know you're going to be around.
Dave.
Hey, you know what? Everybody have a great day.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope I survive through the day.
Really.
Thanks for listening to the show. God bless you.
That's
we'll talk to you next time.
That's why there's editing.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating